Blog Talk Radio.
Wheresoever you go throughout the world, the black man is discarded, is ostracized, is relegated to the lowest in things, social, political, and economical. This therefore suggests a problem and one that must be solved. We in this section of the world are not entirely free from this unkind, unsympathetic, and uncharitable behavior of the groups or races around us. But since man has been placed on his own responsibility, whether he be black, white, or yellow, he must act on his own account. We will not unduly whine or complain, but reason among ourselves and see what can be done to remedy this state of affairs. Life is a conflict. You have to fight your way through it, whether you will it or not. Those of us who are able to fight most stubbornly live, accomplish most, and to them go the laurels, the palms, and triumph of our civilization and world. We unfortunately have not been trained nor educated in the truths of life, paradoxically so. May I say something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life, so that the same glory and success attained by other men who understand themselves may be yours? Man in the full knowledge of himself is a superb and supreme creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment, the captain of his own ship, the director of his own destiny, the accomplisher of his own ends. Man should understand himself because man is full of knowledge, and this knowledge is a gift of nature. When Mother Nature created man, she deprived him of nothing. He was given the faculty of understanding all things around him. This faculty for understanding has not been taken away from him. None of his senses have been taken away from him. So there is no excuse for the black man in lacking the knowledge that man is used to beautify the world and produce all that he needs for his happiness and civilization. Look the world over, and whatever you see in it that is pleasing to man, contributing to man's comfort, to his needs, and to his satisfaction, it is but the work of man. Man blessed with the knowledge of himself and the understanding of all things around him. If you are able to live with the knowledge of yourself and with the greater knowledge of nature, you must know what is good and what is not. You must know what is finite. You must know that which is material, physical, and otherwise is at your disposal to create or otherwise use. If we leave America and go over to the east to Japan, they will be telling their fellow citizens of Japan of the wonderful accomplishments of the Japanese people, proving that man is moving onward as time moves on. But you have hated yourselves as you have done in previous years. You have shown malice, prejudice, and hate to each other. And the result is that while other races have made progress, while India has made progress towards nationalism, while Ireland has made progress towards republicanism, while the whole world has made progress in man's accomplishments, you still stand fighting yourselves, dishonoring yourselves, showing no disposition toward that higher life so that you will be abundantly blessed. So reflect and think that you were created for some purpose other than exhibiting malice toward your neighbor or fellow men of your own race. What a pity it is that we cannot stand united without the written law. There is no written law compelling other races to stand together. They are brought together by the gentle touch of nature. The unwritten law of nature causes them to stand together on all occasions. So wheresoever you find them in the field, that one gentle touch of nature causes them to stand together, if need be, die together. But with the black man, you can preach to him from the pulpits. You lecture from the platforms, from the byways and the hedges. The spirit of cooperation, but he will not cooperate. You talk to him gently, you try talking harshly to him, he still will not cooperate. The result is that he falls prey to those who understand themselves and walk through the world making you their serfs and slaves. We must acquire the higher knowledge of life. Black men and black women, will you get the knowledge that the white man has that causes him to be leaders and masters in the world? They are not gods with a peculiar source for understanding the world around them. They have only given expression to the knowledge of their humanity and been able to use and conquer all to their satisfaction and glory. And that is why they are always greater than you in every community that you find them. Isn't it strange that wheresoever the white man is found, he takes precedence over you? Why is that so? Answer that for yourselves, black men and black women. Wheresoever you come in contact with the white man, you always have to go down in defeat before him. Whether it be in England, in France, or in America, you always have to go down to the white man, and yet he has two eyes, two feet, two hands, same passions, same senses and feelings as you have. Your feet are not put on opposite sides, now your hands turned around the other way. But it's because you fail to use your will, your knowledge, and your mental faculty to the point where you will enjoy life around you. It is against us as an African people. It's not because of color. It's because of our condition. If we must have justice, we must be strong. If we must be strong, we must come together. If we must come together, we can only do so through the system of organization. But the fight for Africa that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. They gave leadership to our foreparents, and that leadership made them slaves. But we've decided to find a leadership of our
greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. I'm waiting for Brother Greg to call in. So. No glitch. I am waiting for the Brother Greg to call in because today's topic will be race over religion, or your religion over race. Pretty much is asking the question of what's at first in your life. What do you consider a priority, and what do you consider something that that's more important in your life? And with black folks, you got to ask that question, because I think too many black people think that the religion is more important in their life. I don't think so. Say that up front. You don't need religion at all. So one of the biggest things that just killed me with that question, you know, or the race over religion, which is fairly important to you. And I've noticed that this one sister I talked to had put it this way. You know, things that that had priorities in that sister's life, this was some years ago, was her God, then her mother. So at that point I asked the question, when you go ahead and you look at this whole thing about, mostly deal with Christianity for right now. So thing that really confused me was, how could you go ahead and say something like that and you not even read the book? The book go ahead and put out some really, really a lot of nonsense. So here's one of the nonsense things. It's early on in the book, and if you read this part, how could you continue to go on and read any other part and consider this a part of your life? So if Adam and Eve had two sons, where did the grandchildren come from? So, you know, we can go ahead and play that name game or whatever we want to call it, about, God made man, then he created woman, you know. But here, let's go ahead and get past that. I'll give you that one. So it's God has put these two on the planet, and then they have two sons. Now, it's biologically impossible for a man to have children. I don't care. I think, especially at this point, there's a lot of technology out here, but I just don't think you can. And as much as they keep on trying to fool with the human body, I don't even think you could go ahead and hold a baby. Even though if you go ahead and do the research, you see that, hey, look, a man can't produce milk. So that blew me away when I saw that. So this is Brother Greg. Brother Greg, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace and love, brother.
Peace and love, brother. How you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Yeah, you got to complain. It's raining like crazy here in Chicago today. That's nuts, man.
Yeah, that's made it hard to wake up. Man, let me get my behind up and indulge in some of this Darbyism.
Yeah. So basically, this was pretty much your topic, your baby, your thing here. Because you made me think about it even more when you talked about it a little while ago. You know, you want to do shows on that, so you want to have discussions on that. So let's have that discussion.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and tell me what you think about that. Is your religion first or your race first? So you say race over religion. So some people go ahead and say religion over race. And I think those are
yes,
those. I think those black people who go ahead and say they hate religion over race, they're really dangerous to you. So you go ahead and you tell me how you feel about that.
All right, brother. First off, I want to say, first, thank you for having me on. Shout out to the Sir Isaiah Mortar Division, Division 401 in Chicago. Religion is something that's very important to us as people in general, as it should be. A lot of where we get our doctrines and philosophies from in reference to life, in reference to ourselves, in reference to our connection with nature, and in reference to society comes from the religious text that we grew up in and or have an affinity towards. So that's cool. One thing that I aim at primarily is what I call theological supremacy, is when people end up having this inferiority-superiority complex with religious doctrines, with a notion of theirs being supreme and accurate, and then use their stance to treat others who don't believe what they believe in differently. And because of that, we've seen countless times over the centuries where we have sacked and separated our strength in numbers and used our efforts and resources against each other instead of unifying. One of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey's most popular quotes was that unification is the only solution for us as a people, for us socially, politically, and economically, regardless of what we believe in. One prime example is an Asian that I talked to not too long ago. He told me that when they have their political action committees, when they're moving on Asian endeavors, it never comes up if they're Buddhist or Hindu or Taoist or none of that. When it comes to Asian agendas, Asian issues, they Asian. Don't care. We see this with a lot of other people as well. It just seems like with us, for some reason, we take our religious identity and put it at the helm of our identity in general. So that'll make it where if the religion that one practices is not all the way accurate, then people will take that personally and be like, oh, well, they're saying that I'm not accurate. If it's kind of fake or if it's not all it's cracked up to be, then I'm going to take it on as if somebody's saying I'm fake and I'm not all that it's cracked up to be. And that's not really ever the case. I think that it would be easier for us if we could separate our religious / spiritual understanding, goals, and objectives with our social, economic, and political ones. Because no matter what in the world we believe in, when we come out of these doors, when we come out of our homes, when we have to engage in societies that are dominated by people who aren't black, we're black anyway. They're not going to look at what type of headdress we have on, what type of cultural attire we have on when we're driving while black. They're not going to ask us if we're a Christian or a Muslim or a Hebrew when they're saying stop resisting. A judge is not going to wonder what type of religion we're in or what in when we're passed away and they're letting the cop get off for killing us. So I feel like the best way that we can unify and get things cracking is if we focus on our commonalities, mainly our race, our disposition, our social status, our lack of circulation of income, trillions of dollars that we get and send it right back out to other communities before we do, our lack of institutional power and control from education to finance to everything else that has an institutional apparatus in society. We can collaborate cohesively and work on our aims and objectives that affect us and the generations that will proceed from us, regardless of our religious differences, which is why I follow race over religion.
That's cool, brother. You know, and it was some things you said, man, it just pretty much resonated with me well. And the biggest thing here is this. When we, like you brought up the thing about the police and the whole legal aspect of, you know, dealing with the killings of us. You know, no one's that standing there asking you about your religion before they go ahead and put a bullet in your chest or put a bullet in your head. You know, it doesn't even matter. You also go ahead and see a brother standing there with their crucifix on, or go ahead and show that, hey, look, they support this one, a religious ideology, and still get killed. So you go ahead and notice that, hey, look, we have that common thing. They shoot just because of your skin color. So we have to go ahead and stop going ahead and separating ourselves and dividing ourselves, because to me, differently religions, politics, game banging, all this shit is just layers. You go ahead and yep. These layers are just going ahead and telling you, hey, look, you hate yourself. So you need to go ahead and try to go ahead and deal with the thing where, well, what's going ahead and affecting us? And what's the reason why they're affecting us? And it's because of your skin color, because of your hair texture, your eye color. You've got those African features. And that is the problem that we have, but a lot of people don't recognize that. I mean, I don't get on with the whole thing here where going ahead, you stand up there and take a bullet because you're a Democrat. You stand up there and take a bullet because you're on this gangbanger. To me, a lot of times when I go ahead and see that, I just think a lot of these guys are just volunteer force. But I saw something today. Let me veer off just a minute, and I'm trying to make this connection. I saw something today where Oklahoma is suing the pharmaceutical one of the pharmaceutical companies, one of the companies that make the opioids, the Johnson & Johnson. Shouldn't we go ahead and try to go ahead stick together for under that reason? Because it's a lot of us out here who go ahead and sold drugs. We've doing it for economic reasons. We should go ahead and put something out there and to go ahead and to sue the federal government or to go ahead and sue these municipalities for allowing these things in the area. Instead of going ahead and taking the money that you get, you know, the money that you get every quarter or every fiscal year for your budget, you put it toward fighting crime. And it seems like the face on crime is pretty much black folks. So that's another thing that they go ahead and use. Well, hey, look, well, they're selling drugs, so it justifies them shooting your black ass. So it's things, that little things that's right in your face that we don't even go ahead and pay attention to. And these things are just another division, another way to divide us, another layer of going ahead and separating us. But the crazy part about it is, you know, you got people that will go ahead and fight you for their defense of their religion. Look at how it's going around the planet. Okay, you got areas on this planet where people fight each other for their defense of their religion. And black folks need to get out of those damn fights. Really, definitely need to get out of those. Go ahead and find ways to go ahead and defend yourself, your neighborhood, your family, your neighborhood, your area, because there's a lot of black folks. But this is just another division amongst us. Did I go ahead and hit it right, brother? Brother Gray?
You already know, bro. You got it. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah,
to go a little deeper, though, it's a level of low self-esteem. Theological, religious, low self-esteem involved as well. A lot of our people can't really function peacefully in an environment where they're talking and being around other people that don't believe like them. People say that it's cool, like, yeah, you ain't got to believe like me, but when they actually see it and hear it, then it's a different story. When they see the different cultural expressions, when they hear people using different names for God, having a different way of thinking, it's something in them that makes it where they have to, quote unquote, correct it. They have to try to match a quote for a quote. Be like, well, my God is Lord of all. Instead of just letting it slide. If it don't apply, let it fly. But the only way to do that is to have enough security within oneself about one's spiritual beliefs to recognize that no matter what anybody else believes, or how it's anyone else thinks, that has no bearing on your personal belief. How valid it is, how strong it is, how concrete the foundation is, all of that is personal. But until we're able to coexist, coincide, and communicate with each other without having to hear theological innuendo that aligns with what we think, then there'll always be problems, because there will always be this thing within someone, like an itch that has to be scratched, where they have to assert their theological supremacy within the dialogue. So one thing we got to do is get more mature and more secure so that we can be able to speak on social, political, and economic issues and not get our panties up in a bunch when we hear and see brothers and sisters that we're engaging with live a life that's not according to what they believe in.
You know, okay, so break it down. What would you go ahead and deal with first? Where do you think you should go ahead and start to go ahead and say, hey, look, that this is just another division, another wedge between black folks and reality?
Well, I would say the first thing is to have a discussion, which is why, you know, at our great division, we're in the process of formulating and facilitating a race over religion interfaith dialogue and creating a panel with most of the faiths that our people are involved in representing. It starts with a conversation. It seems like most of the conversations we've had that have some type of religious significance to it, it's mainly WWE. We're coming together to contend and try to assert our theological supremacy instead of coming together to find what our commonalities are. We'd rather focus on the differences. So to me, the first step is to have the conversation with those who are willing to have it, with those who don't have a problem with unifying with their people above and beyond religious lines. And then within that conversation, we can start laying the groundwork with do's and don'ts, what we're willing to do, what we're willing to talk about, and then also express to each other the things that irritate us and aggravate us and will repulse us from unifying. And we need to be cognizant of that. We need to be cognizant of the things that we don't like and cognizant of the things that others don't like. And I guarantee you that it's pretty much the same shit. It's pretty much the same shit, just a different person doing it, different verbiage. But there are certain things that we all get irritated by and that will repulse us. So we start with a conversation, laying the groundwork down, laying the foundation, and then building on top of that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. When there, a conversation like this is, I feel that some people are going to tell you, oh, that no, I'm going to stay with this. That ain't important. I'm fine. They ain't killing me. But, you know, if those idiots who, and I do call them idiots, if those idiots who are looking for help and support once one of their relatives is shot and killed, you know, that's you know, one of those things that we had to deal with here in Chicago. You know, then they were looking for somebody to go ahead and to, you know, support them and all this other stuff, or even to go ahead and pass the hat so they can go ahead and get money to bury that relative. And instead of going ahead and what I'm trying to say is, don't react. Let's go ahead and get ahead of this game. Let's do a form of prevention. And stop these things from happening. And having these conversations is the thing here. So it's hard to go ahead and get individuals to go ahead and see that, hey, look, we need to talk about this, instead of going ahead and listening to individuals tell me that, you know, they ain't interested, or yeah, that's that black thing, that black stuff, or they want to go ahead and tell me about all of the individuals in entertainment. Yeah, I don't give a shit about them fuckers. They, you know, if I see them going here marching in with a red flag, then I'm supportive of them. But if they ain't, you know, fuck them.
For real.
It's a mind-boggling thing, man, and it's crazy. So it's, how do we formulate and package this message to go ahead and tell you that you need to get on board and start doing something so we can go ahead and stop all the bullshit from happening? Because they're killing you because you're black. They're not giving you the job because you're black. you're not going ahead and getting just pretty much what they say America's about. You know, he's, you can go ahead and make it here and all this other stuff. And if you work hard and all that. Oh, I hate that line. And you go ahead and you can get all this. Man, it's just amazing how so many people go ahead, so many black folks just turn their backs on it until they need help. Go ahead and deal with
yeah.
with that post-traumatic stress or go ahead and losing your loved ones.
Well, for one, you know, we've been conditioned a certain type of way from the plantation on down, that there's a certain set of criteria that's needed to be put in play before people to really take certain messages seriously, let alone get up off their own ass and get involved. One of those things is that they have to see that whatever collective is talking shit, that we have to have what people call, young people call that bag. We have to have means of generating income, securing that income, and circulating that income through employment with goods and services on our own. A lot of times we talk about what our brothers and sisters should be doing in reference to get money, in reference mm-hmm. to education. But we're not employing them, and we're not educating them. So it's like, yeah, all that sound good, but my rent due. It was due last month.
Yeah,
so
you know,
want me to do this and that, but you ain't got no way to get me to it.
And I agree with that 100%. So, but we can't go ahead and establish nothing until we go ahead. We got an idea. We need to go ahead, you know, and organize individuals and then formulate that plan, put that plan in action. Keep it simple, okay? So, but when
yeah.
we go ahead, we let people know that, hey, look, this is what we're about based on the ideology, based on the teachings of the Honorable Marcus Garvey. Individuals learn from that. And then you also got the miseducated Negroes out here that go ahead
yes,
and that Marcus Garvey was this or he was working with the Klan and all this other stuff. Hey, you know what? You got to kind of understand that, hey, look, you know, the government was actually on the side of the Klan. So if you
mm-hmm.
go ahead and deal with the soldiers and some of those lieutenants that was in the Klan, and keep them from going ahead and fucking with you, we might be able to go ahead and thrive and prosper.
And let's be honest. Black nationalists and white nationalists have a lot in common. Not everything, but we have a lot in common. You know, they don't want us messing with their daughters. We don't want them messing with our daughters. They don't want us dealing in their economic affairs and political affairs. They want to handle their own. When it comes to getting their money and governing their societies, we want our own when it comes to getting our money and governing our societies. The big difference is in reference to who we want to have our foot on, who's next we want to have our foot on, who's next they want to have their foot on. The difference comes with population control. We are secure enough to feel as though all we have to do is be race first and devote our energy and attention towards our own social, economic, and political agenda, and everything else will fall in play. And then when things do come to us, against us rising, they want to try to keep us at the bottom of the totem pole, then we'll have more resources, more communicative ability to unify and wield our leverage collectively to offset and defend against those that want to keep us down and tear us down. So
you know what?
A lot of times people talk about he was talking with the Klan and all that, but guess what? We have some things in common. You stay over there, we stay over here. You do your thing and don't interfere with us. We'll do our thing and don't interfere with you. So that's a conversation that can be had, regardless of the differences that are abound in our ideologies.
You know, here's something, man. You know, so you know what you just add with what you said, but we got you know we're not fighting so much with the Klan right now. I think we have a whole lot of internal fights, or we can call them the enemies from within. And somehow we got to address them, and somehow we got to go here and put them out there. I was looking at this thing on Facebook where his brother put this post where, hey, look, Steve Harvey went over to Ghana and did the slave thing, went out the slave routes and went to the dungeons and all that stuff. He broke down crying. But my comment was, I'll bet you money that's still not going to change that coonery mentality. Okay?
Because
you listen to a lot of these entertainers out here, and people feed into it. They made their money on their own, which is bullshit. You needed your next-door neighbor, especially when you're in entertainment, you're dealing with the music thing here. You didn't your next-door neighbor to go ahead and buy your CD. You needed the people on your block to buy. You went to them first. So you didn't do this shit on your own. You got to support other people in your neighborhood. So even with Steve Harvey, him going ahead and being a comedian, I think that's pretty much how he started out, being a comedian. You didn't go ahead and just do this shit on your own, but he's all about the money and who's paying him, and you got too many people out here, too many black folks out here who are all about the money. Let's go ahead and get paid. Let's get paid, no, regardless of how many black folks it hurt. Here's something else. When you see a lot of black individuals run around here with diamonds and gold, maybe you should ask them, do you know how many black folks died so you can walk around with that shit on? And I bet
sweat,
you it is,
blood, tears.
Yeah. So, and when you go ahead, you look at, some of our people, when they'll go ahead and keep on wearing this, you know, these things here and not even go ahead and recognize how many black people. They don't care. They don't care at all. So, but the ones who are really the strangest ones to me are the ones right around here with their gold crucifix and having that on their neck. I seen a brother with a gold crucifix, but he had diamonds in it and some other stuff. And I'm like, man, and the chain around his neck, it was gold with some diamonds in it. I'm like, oh, man, and that if that ain't the fucking worst, I don't know what is, man.
Well, you know, again, that's something else that stems from conditioning. You're right, though, that the vast majority of us, and to be honest, the vast majority of humans in general, are followers. And we can see that in nature. You know, queen bees are never the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Even those bigger bees that are around them, they're not the drones are the majority. So
right.
The thing is, you know, we are bandwagon-based people. Maybe due to our tribal origins, we originated in tribal collectives as well. So maybe that's why you have alphas and betas and omegas and hierarchical structures around how we operate and function with each other and with the environment. So to me, the thing is, those of us that have some sense and have the balls to stand up, since we're already the minority of our people anyway, we need to unify and galvanize our efforts regardless so that we can create an alternative bandwagon. Because you need bandwagons for followers. You need to herd the sheep regardless. But those of us who have mentalities and an inclination that's above just following the herd, that's above, you know, staying within the box, we need to get together, and that's where race over religion comes right back into, because I feel like religion, sexism, and ageism are the three things that divide us the most, those of us who are willing to step up, the less than 5% that's willing to do something. If, like, for instance, we in Chicago, it's an estimated 990,000 black people in Chicago. That means that 1% of our population is 990 people. 0.1% is 99 people. And as you know, it's hard as hell to get 99 of us on one accord. We got 8 of them over here, 12 of them over there, 15 of them over here, 7 of them over there. And all of us have the same common goals and common enemies. All of us have a much more clear perspective of our situation, our plight, our enemies. But a lot of us want to be the big fish in the little pond. A lot of us think that it's more sovereign and more powerful to be like, oh, we doing our own thing. We going to make our own group. We ain't messing with them like that. They like what they doing, but ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And that's the type of stiff-necked bullshit that keep us divided. We're already divided enough. We're already swimming upstream.
Right.
So what we need to do, those of us that's smart and willing to step up, we need to figure out how we can get together and pool our resources and make stuff happen. Because let's just say if 50 or 60 of us could stay together, first stick together, then stay together, and make moves together as a unit, that would be more than enough to pull in a couple more hundred of people that are in the middle. And hardliners are always on the outskirts, the extents. There's always more people in the middle, straddling the fence or close to either side of the fence. And they're looking to the other side. They're looking to who's doing the most, who can bring the most pleasure and the most pain. Pain and pleasure always be the two biggest motivators in humans. Usually pain even more. We would sacrifice pleasure just to avoid pain.
I'm not trying to give nobody no pain. I'm trying to go ahead and give you pleasure. And one of the things, okay, one of the ways to go ahead and show you that you can have pleasure is living comfortably. And so,
true.
And so let's go ahead and try to create this thing where we got a way for you to live comfortably. I want to talk about the individuals that's going ahead and profiting off the pain of black folks, because it's different ways, and I see that, hey, look, black preachers are profiting off the pain of black folks. And it's just truly amazing to me that a lot of people don't go ahead and see that. You pull up to your church, and you done took the bus to church, and your preacher going ahead and riding up in the latest European high-priced vehicle, and you ain't questioning that?
Well, to them, they feel like God blessed them with it. But let me say this first off, right? Even though I am not Abrahamic by a long shot, those Christians, Hebrews, and Muslims that's willing to be race first, I'm your biggest fan. But those that talk that unequally yoked stuff,
right,
that's when the sword come out. That's when it's time to humble something. Before people be like, oh, man, they all against us. We race first over here. Me and Chef Rod, we race first. But if you don't give a fuck, we don't give a fuck. And we can just go and keep moving. But to those who not like that, who are insecure and immature and can't even deal with being in an environment of other brothers and sisters that's not thinking like them, hee-heeing and ha-ha into the same doctrines, you're a problem, an internal problem, similar to HIV. Attacking our inner immune system, the immune system of our collective consciousness. But yeah, back to what you were saying, bro.
No, but I want to go ahead and have us to go ahead and have these conversations, and I want to go ahead and talk about economics. I want to go ahead and see if I can have you committed to go ahead, and we do this every Monday. But we try to go ahead and line it up to do different things, but it's also going to be a thing where we're dealing with you got to go ahead and look at that today, the religion, how it affects our people. But I want to deal with the economics, so I'm going to go ahead and do my best to have some people on tomorrow. We're going to be on the lunchtime tomorrow, too.
Yeah, I'm committed.
I think that next week, let me see, because I know we can go ahead and fill this thing up here, but this is my first week doing it in such a long time, coming back and going here and having these conversations. And tomorrow I want to go ahead and get some people. Oh, well, I think tomorrow I want to go ahead and deal more with the farming piece, and then on Wednesday we're going to try and deal with economics, and Thursday we're going to deal with some politics. And then Friday, I want to see if we can go ahead and be on almost every day, 7 days a week, to keep pounding this message like the liars at Fox News.
Yes, black media, race first media.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I'm with you, bro. Just let me know when, wherever. I love to. We could chop it up.
So I want you to tell me, you know, what's the agenda? What's going on with the UNIA as far as you know? Because I need to go ahead and have that schedule, you know, what's going on, and get that address over there. Because it sounds better when it comes out of other people. I don't think people listen to me with that part. What's the address of the Marcus Garvey Center?
330 East 37th Street.
Right.
Off of King Drive. It's the Garvey Center. You have the Sir Isaiah Mortar Division of the UNIA, ACL Division 401. You also have the Morris Science Temple of America, Temple 5.
and we have New Era Chicago. All linked up together. We all race first. We all collaborating and communicating with each other. And we all banging on the B-side, people. For all those in the city and visiting and everything, come on through. Come on through to the Sir Isaiah Mortar Division, where we united and we together.
Of course. I want to go ahead and do this thing here, man. I would do it and schedule it like this. And then, well, I intend to go ahead and expand it a little bit more. I'm making sure I got a little bit more time. I have been considering going ahead and leaving Chicago, but I'm gonna stick around for a little bit longer and go ahead and.
Yay.
What's that, man?
Yay. That's what I'm talking about. Chef Rob's still with us. We need you.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I was like, oh man, I can't. Cause it seems like an uphill struggle. But hey, look, you know, the rewards can be great. So you know,
yep.
and I'm not looking to go ahead and fatten my pockets through this whole thing here. You know, let's throw that out the window. I'm ready to attack anybody. Go ahead and say, oh, you just send this for now. I ain't trying to go ahead and do this. But here's something else. I want to go ahead and definitely make this a big mission, a big, big part of my platform. Black radio stations, right? Every day I listen to them, you know, I go ahead, a lot of times I go ahead and put in, you know, some music and listen to stuff, you know, stuff I recorded or, you know, and I want to go ahead. Also, I want you to go ahead and any black folks that's out here who got their own music, I want to deal with them so we don't have to deal with that copyright bullshit. But the black stations here are not black. You know, and I had that discussion. So when I looked at, when I go ahead and I hear, like, the so-called black radio stations, they play the same format, same songs over and over and over, and they don't talk about real black issues. But believe it or not, you know, they're constantly pushing that damn, you know, the whole Jesus piece, you know, God this, God that. But you don't hear nobody going here like myself. I'd be like, hey, give me your Bible. Let's roll that up. I got some good weed. Let's go on here and smoke your shit.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's it can be cool in its place, which is
right.
In your home and in whatever facility people come together who also believe that way. Do y'all thing. But when you come up out of them homes, when you get up off them pews, you in a world that's not relegated by that.
Hold on, wait a minute, brother. Wait. Let me show you where I was going. I want us to go ahead and to put their ass on blast and put their ass out there. Put them on, let everybody fucking know that, hey, look, that so-called black radio station that you listen to ain't black at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because when you... When I looked at the thing, like doing the civil rights thing here, I remember seeing all those, you know, I researched it, and I remember seeing all the images of, like, black folks coming out to these protests, these rallies, and they got that information not through Facebook, but through the local radio stations. And the local radio stations have been bought up by Christian-based groups. A Christian-based group with all the people on the board, all white men, at least the last time I saw it, and that's the thing, go ahead and not push a unified message amongst black people.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to go ahead and really just put their ass on blast. When you gonna go ahead? You go ahead profiting off my pain by going ahead and playing music, you know, especially with a couple of stations who are playing black music made by black artists, but it's designed, the music is designed to go ahead and be destructive. So that's something that we need to deal with. We really have to deal with. So we're going to be dealing with a lot of that shit here real soon because I done got a whole lot pissed off here the last few months, man, especially, you know, since my last show. And I really, really want to go and put their ass on blast.